Top of the morning to everybody.
How are you, Wendy?
I love Fridays. It's raining. It was beautiful a little while ago, and it'll get beautiful again.
How optimistic. That was the most optimistic start to the show of all time.
I'm sick of being crabby.
No. Are you turning over the new leaf, are you? Good for you.
Yes, I am.
We like the crab.
Right. Well, I'm sure you'll get a little.
We'll fight a little. A side of crab. Right? It's like a Long John Silver's. Just a side of crab, and it's not spelled with a C. It's spelled with a K.
Okay, because I was going to say, what Long John Silver's can you find crab at?
It's hard to find. It's very hard to find. Hey, you know who's here? It's Fortune Feimster's here, making a return visit to the show, appearing at Zany's this weekend. Fortune, great to see you.
It's great to see you guys.
You look... I hope this is okay. I know we live in a very politically correct world now, and maybe that's good and maybe it's bad, but you look better than ever.
Oh, thank you. I've lost 30 pounds.
It's obvious.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I was trying not to eat dessert 3 times a day anymore.
That's all it was?
I mean, I was eating a lot. So we started the new year, and, you know, both of us, my fiance and I had put on weight, and we were just like, we gotta reel this in.
Is it easier to do when you're losing with somebody?
Yeah, for sure. Because although if she weren't there, I would be like, you know, eating whatever.
And whenever. You say fiance, so then again, it's like the chase is over, the catch is there. So sometimes you're like, oh, what do I need to look good for?
Yeah, for real. You know, you're either with someone and trying to improve. You're both trying to improve, or you're alone and just eating pasta.
Carbs are the devil, aren't they?
Carbs and sugar are tough to kick. But we did that. We went extreme. We did this thing called the Whole 30, where it's like 30 days with no processed foods, no sugar, no milk, no no soy, no alcohol,
no flavor.
Nothing. No, it was just like meat and vegetables for 30 days.
Don't you find, anytime, because I do that twice a year, I do a 60 and I do a 30.
Oh, really?
Don't you find the first 2 days, maybe 3 days, impossible, and then you kind of get used to it,
I found 30 days impossible.
Every minute of
it. No, I mean, once I hit like 7 days, I was like, well, I can't give up now. I already made it 7 days.
Right.
I got to see what happens with this thing. I lost like 18 pounds in the 30 days.
Yeah. And then what happens after the 30 days? You go back to regular eating?
You kind of like introduce foods like milk, and then like 4 days later, like something else.
Right.
You know, you reintroduce things slowly. But then you find after 30 days of not eating sugar or something like that, I was like, oh, I don't crave it as much as I did.
Sure.
Before.
It's addictive. They tell you that.
Yeah.
Junk food's addictive. Sugar's addictive.
Yeah.
The worst part about sugar, I think, that I couldn't live without is creamer in my coffee and ketchup on fries.
Well, so I love coffee. I'm a huge coffee person, and I was putting tons of like half and half and several Splendas, and so I was drinking every day.
Yeah.
And I managed to cut that out, and now I just do almond milk. And, and at first it was like, oh, this is not as, you know, delicious as it was before, but you do get used to it. And so already I've eliminated something small, but something I was doing every day.
Right.
And that adds up.
Yeah.
Is there one food in particular that when you're on one of these 30 days, you go, oh, I would give anything just to have that? What is it?
I really love like any pasta or Thai food. I was missing noodles and things like that, and cake.
Yeah,
have you seen, I think it's Noodles and Company, they now, and other people have done it, but they offer it, their noodles made out of zucchini.
Oh,
they
yeah.
shred them, so it,
really?
It has the consistency of like a spaghetti, but it's just zucchini.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet, but it was good in theory.
I'd be the one talking about healthier foods. It's so weird.
That's the reason we brought you in.
It's so easier to talk about tater tots, you know?
Don't you also find if you're on any kind of a diet or anything like that, that's when food companies decide to either introduce new products, or you'll be in the store and you'll go, all the milk duds you want for a quarter? When did this start? You know, there's some special going on.
Well, and I, on my social media, I dance a lot with ice cream. And so every, like a lot
Wait, what does that mean, you dance with ice cream?
So like, I just do these silly dances where I like, you know, because ice cream's so delicious that when you eat it, it just brings out such joy.
Yes.
So
makes you want to dance.
It makes you want to dance. So I started filming myself dancing with ice cream, obviously.
Different dances for different flavors?
tours?
Yeah, like if I'd go in different cities and I'd try a local place, I'd, you know, go on the street and dance with it and put a song to it. And everyone's like, oh, it's so fun and silly. And I like, I don't know, I like seeing this person dance with ice cream. So now when I go to restaurants, a lot of people send me like ice cream or desserts and
to get you dancing. Dance.
Yeah. And of course, now that I'm trying to be healthier, I'm like, I can't eat this right now. But I'll splurge and, you know, for the sake of the dance.
For the art. You do it for your art.
Yeah, I'll eat the ice cream.
Yeah, that makes sense. Fortune Feimster's here. You can see her at Zany's tomorrow night or Sunday night. Two shows each night. We'll give you all the details in just a little bit. Stick around. A lot more coming next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Fortune Feimster's here. She's appearing at Zany's in Rosemont. You got two shows tomorrow night, two shows on Sunday night. You don't have to see all four, but if you're
Why
in the
not?
Area, go
Come
see
on.
All four. Why wouldn't people sit for all four? I have to ask you about your name.
Yeah.
Now, Fortune is a very interesting name, but it's not your original. It's your middle
it's
name.
It's my middle name.
Yeah.
It's my great-grandmother's maiden name.
Oh.
And a Southern folk often take, you know, family names.
Yeah.
Yep. That are our parents. That's like our shout-out. To family members is like, I'm going to name my daughter after
Why
you.
Not?
Yeah.
When did you go with it as your first name? Was it for professional reasons or in school or when?
So Emily is my first name, and I went by that until I was about 22.
Yeah.
And I was really tight with my grandmother, and she really wanted my mom to name me Fortune when I was born. She's like, I really think that should be your name. And my mom was just like, you know, she'd have to be Miss America to live up to a name like that. And which, rude, I can't believe my mom didn't think I was going to be Miss America. So they compromised. And then after my grandmother passed away, actually the day after I moved to college, and we just had a very tight bond. And I felt like I am who I am a lot because of her. So
yeah.
I was like, you know what, if I ever perform, if I ever do anything, like that, I want to go by Fortune as kind of a nod to
her.
Great
name.
And then it just ended up kind of taking over, and only my family calls me Emily, but I definitely feel more like a Fortune.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
look more like a Fortune. I was just going to ask
Emily's
you when you
dainty.
Look. Yeah. Well, not just that, but it's all girly,
yeah.
you know, like you should be wearing skirts all the
right,
time.
Yeah.
And
it's
taffeta.
Like, it's a sweet name.
Yeah.
And that name was, I was named after my mom's cousin, of
oh.
course.
Oh.
So Emily, I still...
Do they run out of names in the South? Because
yeah,
I'm married to someone
so.
From the South, and his family, the same thing.
Yeah, all my brothers have names from family members. I don't know, it's such a thing there, or it was.
Paying tribute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, I just, Fortune just fit, you know, and so it's good for me, and it also, you know, it pays honor or something, you know, to my grandmother.
It's great alliteration with your last
mm-hmm.
name. You sound like a Dick Tracy character.
Yeah.
You know?
Fortune Feimster just walked in.
That's perfect. A couple weeks ago, we had Garrett Dillahunt on the show,
I
who
love
played
Garrett.
Your brother Jody. He had nothing but great things to say about you.
He's the greatest. I can't believe that I got to play his sister. Everyone still comes up to me. They're like, your guys' you know, brother-sister dynamic on the Mindy Project was so fun.
It was.
Because they would write things like, you know, he curls my hair every morning for 2 hours. And we were very codependent siblings.
You know what he said that I think you'll find interesting is, because I've loved his work for years
yeah.
and years, and I loved that he was on the show. And he said he was so intimidated because, not just you, he said, but that cast was mm-hmm. so fast and so funny. He said, I don't think I could keep up with them.
Oh,
but he did.
Well, he's such a great actor. You know, a lot of us came from improv backgrounds. We all started... I started at the Groundlings. Ike was, I think Second City, and Mindy's a writer. So everybody, mm-hmm. you know, was on the fly a lot. You
mm-hmm.
were just kind of just riding with whatever the other person said.
Yeah.
So, you know, but he's such a good actor that he, you know, would find his moments
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Whereas like someone like Ike isn't going to be quiet.
Oh, is he funny? He's so
the
good.
He's a Chicago.
He's from here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go back to those days with the Groundlings.
Uh-huh.
Intimidating at first to be on stage there, or did you pick it up right away?
Well, it's intimidating when you watch, because when I started the school, I think Kristen Wiig was coming through the program, and Melissa McCarthy was in the main company. So you're seeing these, like, you know, they weren't like who they are now as far as fame, but you're seeing just like people that are so good.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, I want to do that, but like, how can I get to that level? So you just start at the bottom. So
yeah.
you're in classes with a bunch of, you know, some people are really funny and some
right.
people really suck. And So it's not as intimidating in class. You're like, this guy, I don't think comedy is for him, you know?
But that's kind of good for you because you learn from both. You learn from those better and from those not as good.
Sure. And then the more you go through the program, then you start getting to perform with those people. And it's like playing tennis. You play tennis. Makes you stronger when you play against better people.
Sure.
Do those sucky people ever get better?
No, they eventually get weeded out because it's a you get voted on. It's a weird process where it's like even in classes they're deciding whether or not you can continue.
There was a guy in my Second City class who, whenever a scene would start, he had a drink. Uh-huh. No matter what the scene was, he had a drink.
Yeah.
And one of them was, the setup was, you're in prehistoric times, and right away, Daniel was holding a drink. He had a champagne glass. Very strange.
Yeah, it's his go-to security blanket.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, improv's fun, though. The nice thing about it is, you know, everyone should be able to take it, and a lot of people do it in the beginning. You might not make a career out of it, but
it helps you.
Yeah, I had a lot of, there were a lot of people in my beginning few classes that were like lawyers or, you know, business people or people who just wanted to be more confident or teachers.
Yeah,
it really helps with a lot of professions, just being able to think on your feet. It really does give you some tools to, you know, if you're not sure what to say.
They're good forever.
Yeah.
I have to ask you about this. One of the shows, actually, I think it was the first time I saw you, Fortune, was on John Mulaney's show. Now, I think John, seriously, is one of the funniest stand-ups I've ever seen.
Great,
he's so good. The show didn't work. Why? What was going on there?
You know, it was an he's so good, and I saw what he was trying to do. It was an interesting mix of, they had the home life where it was him and his friends, and then they had the work life where it was like Martin Short and the game show, and he was working on the game show. And I don't think the two worlds mixed in a weird way. The show would have worked if it was one thing or the other.
Right.
But for some reason, the two worlds weren't really coming
together.
So
sad, because he's at no loss for work. He's working constantly, and I'm thrilled for that.
Yeah.
But I wanted that show to be so good, and it was disappointing that
it wasn't. I could see him going on. I see him more in the like late night. I could see him being one of the late night hosts or one of those guys that gets to be himself, because he's got a lot of really great opinions and he's so smart. I think who's to say? I mean, maybe he'll come up with another wonderful, great show, and that will be the thing that works. But I would really love to see him in that late night capacity.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So you're going to be at Zany's Rosemont this weekend. Mm-hmm. Saturday, two shows. Sunday, two shows.
Yeah.
But where are you headed now?
I'm headed to Milwaukee. We came into Chicago last night because my fiance is. I met her in Chicago 3 years ago, and so she has friends here she likes to see, and so we're like, let's just fly into Chicago, and then we'll just drive up to Milwaukee. I'm doing their Pride Fest up there.
Oh, you're going to have a great
awesome.
Time.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's like an afternoon, like a 5 p.m. show. So.
And you're going to get there by 5 if you leave now?
We'll see. We'll see.
You will.
Yeah. But I love performing in Chicago. Everybody's so nice here. And it's a good comedy city.
It is, isn't it?
So anytime they ask me to come, I'm like, yes.
It was almost exactly a year ago that you were here last time,
probably,
right?
Probably. I think I did the downtown club.
Yeah.
So, you know, Rosemont, and people are like, that's all the way by the airport. And I'm just like, you can do it. You got this.
Push yourself. It's worth
it.
You
can even get on the blue line. I know. I know my trains.
Yeah,
now.
You do very well. Played.
Boy, I don't. And I've lived here my whole life.
Very nice.
I've been on the trains here.
I also have to ask, more Life in Pieces for you or not?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I hope so. That show, they picked it up at the very last minute. I was getting worried that it wasn't coming back, but now. Now that it is officially picked up, I really hope.
I hope you're back on.
Back.
Your character's hysterical.
They write such funny stuff for me, and then they let me kind of go and be silly, and let me say crazy things.
Your character is both dangerous and endearing at the same time.
I know, that's what I love about it, because she's like so. Like, she has a pet snake. Oh, my God. By the way, I had to film a scene with Diane Wiest. Not had to. I had the pleasure of filming with Diane Wiest.
They forced you to.
But there was a 13-foot python in the scene with us that was on my bed, because my character has a pet snake, of course. And I had to sit down on the bed with Diane and have a real emotional scene with her while this python, this giant yellow python, was coming towards us. And I was, Diane could see I was nervous. And I was like, oh my God.
She wasn't nervous?
She was not. She did not even flinch.
What's wrong with her? How could you not?
She was like, I'll let you know if it comes too close to you.
Wow.
I'm like, hold me, please, Diane. It was so scary. Acting's hard, you guys.
It is hard. That's a testament to how good an actress you are. I didn't know you were scared.
The point of the story is acting's so hard.
Right. It sure is. Boy, is it ever. Amy Schumer, right? Was that an Amy Schumer impression? That
probably.
Sounded like an Amy Schumer impression.
I didn't mean
impression.
To, but it was probably. Perfect.
Go see Fortune Feimster. She's at Zanies in Rosemont. You got two chances tomorrow night and two chances on Sunday night. You want to go to rosemont.zanies.com. All your information is there. Great to see you again.
It was great to see you.
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for being
nice
here, Fortune.
Thank you for having me.
A little break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday. We like to goof around and have fun on Friday, and we're going to have some of that coming up sometime before noon as Bill has put together one of his fantastic games.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. The game is called It's Impossible. I've come up with a question. See, here's what's happened is that now, like in the old days, you really had to keep dumb stuff in your head and know it, but now you can Google stuff.
That's why you were so popular.
Back then, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I've come up with a question that you can't, you either know it or you don't, and I don't think anyone will. It's called It's Impossible, and we'll do that before we leave at noon.
And that winner will receive a Father's Day grill package from Omaha Steaks until I steal it from them.
Well, let's do this. How about this, Wendy? If nobody gets it, I think you should have it.
No, that's
not fair. Put it all
on
the line.
That's not fair. You should just share with me.
I can't. That's on paper, that sounds like a good idea. I just can't.
We also have a family four-pack of tickets to the Chicago White Sox. They'll be playing the Detroit Tigers on Saturday, June 16th. So listen to that White Sox sounder, and we'll tell you what caller number to be. And this goes on all regular season long. Seats to the Sox will take care of you. Hearing the news of Anthony Bourdain this morning shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I am very alarmed by this rash of celebrity suicides. It began with Kate Spade, which that one honestly just completely threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
And there were conflicting reports. You know, her sister had come out and said some things, and then her husband said, the sister hasn't even talked to her in over 10 years, so trust me when I say she's been working on this for 5 years. She's battled anxiety and depression, and this astounding thing, after Anthony Bourdain, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, yesterday put out this report on suicide. Nearly 45,000 Americans took their lives in 2016. That's more than people who died in car accidents or opioid overdoses.
Frighteningly high number. Horribly high number.
It's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about it. A medical examiner on Thursday determined Spade, 55, died from suicide by hanging. Anthony Bourdain, it was reported this morning, I believe, by hanging.
Oh, was that? I didn't see it. I thought I heard that.
I could be wrong. And
that was the reports we heard early on there, Wendy, yes.
All right, and he was 61 years old. There's this weird thing. It's not a copycat thing, but you just wonder. You try and make some sense of it, how someone can take their own life. Obviously, they're not stable upstairs, or they wouldn't be doing this. But I just wonder if Anthony Bourdain has battled some demons and sees Kate Spade take her own life and sees the love and adulation she gets and decides, you know, oh, Kate Spade had a daughter. She'll be able to move on from this. Maybe my kid can do it too. I just wonder if there's some kind of trigger.
Sure.
That says, you know what, I've been thinking about it for years, because I do feel if you've thought of suicide once, you've probably thought of it more than once.
Yeah, maybe.
And
right.
I mean, obviously everybody's trying to put their finger on it, but it's just confusing to me.
I don't know if you go through this, but when you reason it out, like in my head, I always say to myself, I understand, I don't fully understand, but I'm trying to understand somebody where you just go, all their avenues are closed. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe they've tried and tried and tried to find love in their life and they can't find it. You know, all those reasons that you hear equated with suicide. But then when you hear about somebody that is rich and successful and powerful and attractive and has everything going their way, you just go, how desperate must things have been for that man or woman to still take their own lives? I'm not saying one is more or less important than
right,
the other.
But it's more confusing.
It's far more confusing.
But then you wonder, you know, what's going on inside these people's minds, because, you know, everyone says money can't buy happiness. And as we've learned time and time again, it can't. It can help. If you don't have money, you're going to be in worse shape. If you have money to pay bills and make sure you can get great mental health care, which it sounded like Kate Spade had been doing.
Yeah.
I met Anthony Bourdain. He was in when I was with another radio show. We were interviewing him. He was super nice. He was very cocky and very self-assured.
And
not that that was a bad thing.
It's just his personality.
It was his personality. Yeah. But then, I don't know, then I start, you know, playing armchair psychologist, and it's like, someone who's so tough and like that, are they like that inside? Are they being true to themselves? He did have alcohol and drug issues. That was a sign right there that he was trying to self-medicate for some reason.
Right.
I'm at a loss.
Well, even with Kate Spade, one of the things when they announced her death a couple of days ago, they were showing clips of her from the Today Show. She had done an interview on the Today Show, I think a year ago, give or take a couple of months. And she was in such good spirits, laughing and had a great sense of humor about things. And you just say, so was that an act? Or I know some days are probably much better and much worse than other days. Did they happen to catch her on a good day? It's all very confusing.
But, you know, there are mood swings involved in some mental issues. Not all the time.
Right.
But, you know, you put on a happy face. You almost think the bottom line is they thinking, my family will be better off without me.
Right. When I think if you asked the family, they would almost always tell you the exact opposite. No, we don't want to lose them. We'll do anything we can to not lose them.
The CDC study released yesterday shows half of the country has seen more than 30% increase in suicide rates from 1999 to 2016. Among women 45 to 64-year-olds have the highest rate of suicide.
Horrible.
Say that again, because that struck me.
The CDC released yesterday this survey. It shows half the country has seen a more than 30% increase in suicide rates from the years 1999 through 2016. And among women, 45 to 64-year-olds have the highest rate.
So what do we think is, but do they give any cause for that? Is there a reason they think that those numbers are playing out that way?
This is according to a writer, Dori Olds. I'm on CBSNews.com. Approximately half of those who committed suicide did not have a known mental health condition.
I'm interested in the age, really, Wendy. Does it say the age for men as well? I mean,
no, it doesn't. I think because this was following Kate Spade's suicide, but we could look that up. But 45 to 64, it's so bizarre because you talk to people, you know, now that I'm in my 50s, you talk to people, it's like life gets easier as you get older. You know, your kids are more self-sufficient.
Sure.
They, you know, you've established a career. You have a nice home. It's supposed to be a time where the cruise control is on.
You would hope. Right.
But then it's, you know, 45 to 64, that's surprising. For those who did have mental, let me read this again. Approximately half of those who committed suicide did not have a known mental health condition. For those who did, Dori Olds says, circumstances such as relationship problems, job or financial issues, physical health problems contributed to their suicide. In Spade's case, her husband says the two had been living apart for the last 10 months. As Andy Spade was interviewed, he said divorce was not brought up. We were just taking a break.
Right.
They lived within blocks of one another. They had meals together frequently, did family vacations together. But it's still not like it was, you know? And someone who you built a business with and a relationship with and a marriage and had a kid, you don't know. I mean, we don't know what she was thinking.
Do we know if it's true? There were reports that within the note that she left, that there was instructions for her daughter to know that this was not her fault. Do we know that that's factual or not yet?
What I've been reading, and, you know, it's so weird that TMZ turns out to be
a credible source at times.
Were the ones who reported the suicide note said this, Frances, to her daughter, saying it's not your fault, ask dad.
Right.
Which in a way is kind of almost like blaming him from what I take from that. Like, it's not your fault. Ask Dad why I did it.
I wasn't sure how to understand that part of the note. If that was part of the note, I think it was her way of saying, if you want all the details, talk to your dad. Not in a negative way, but just he'll be the first to corroborate the story that you didn't enter into this, that this was all on me. You didn't play into this.
But why
this
did
at
it
all.
Say ask Dad that? And then he's saying that in a report I read that I saw no such note, and I can't believe someone private messaged my daughter
right.
the contents of this note.
Yeah.
It's weird if he didn't see it.
I agree. I don't understand that either. Yeah. So
no answers, Steve. I'll look up the age range for men, because it is astounding to hear among women 45 to 64 year olds have the highest rate of suicide. It's just
I would
a
not have guessed
thing.
That. I would not have thought that at all.
Don't
all
you right. think a lot of that has to do with they change? It's a big change in your life at that time. Your kids are grown up. You're home alone with your husband. If there's divorce issues, it's going to come up again. You don't have anything else to, you know, all you thought about was your kids and their lives, and now all of a sudden it's like you have to think about you.
There's something to that,
and then
that,
you
Mary.
Start thinking of menopause and hormones, and oh my gosh,
yeah,
there's a lot of different stuff going on.
Failing
alcoholism,
health, right? All of that plays into it. There's no question. There's no doubt about it.
That age kind of doesn't surprise me, actually,
because
I'm in that age. Oh, oh boy, that scared me. Oh well,
Mary scared herself.
There. She
I didn't expect that to happen.
You know, actually, before we take a break, we have a quick phone call. Lou Manfredini's on the line. Mr. Fixit, how are you?
I'm well. How are you two?
We're good. There's a special reason for your call today.
Oh, well, I have a special reason. This is a completely personal, but, you know, my daughter, and Bill can relate to this because his daughter's around the same age as mine, lives in Los Angeles.
Yes.
She works there. And, you know, when they get older, Wendy, you're going to get to this point. You miss them when they're gone. But as she walks to work every day from West Hollywood to Beverly Hills to her job, she listens to Bill and Wendy.
She does?
I knew I liked her.
What a brilliant child you have.
Yeah, she listens on the stream as she's walking. It's her little connection to Chicago. And she's like, oh, did you hear Bill and Wendy today? You know, she'll text me or whatever, tell me what's going on. And I'm like, no, I really don't listen. And so,
thank you for that, Lou. That's very nice.
At least you're honest.
Today is her birthday.
Aww.
So as she's walking down Santa Monica Boulevard, listening to Bill and Wendy on the radio in Los Angeles, I just wanted to wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
What is her name, Lou?
Yeah. Carmen. Her name is Carmen. She's 22 today.
Beautiful. Oh, well, happy birthday,
well,
Carmen.
Thank you.
That's
thank
so
you
nice.
Very much.
Thanks
we
for listening, Carmen.
You still have to get her a gift on top of this, Lou. You know that, right?
Oh, I know. Believe me.
Okay.
Isn't the gift that she's living in L.A.?
Yeah, that's the right way to look at it. Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Don't worry. It's in the mail. Thank you.
Unlike yourself, Lou, I listen to you pretty much every Saturday at some point.
I listen to you two all the time.
All right.
I would call in. I would call in all the time, but you know, I don't want to bother you.
You have the number. Anytime you need us, we're here for you.
Jasmine,
love
block
you.
His calls.
Bye, right. Lou, and happy birthday, Carmen.
Thank you.
All right, take
thank
care.
Thank you, Lou. Happy birthday, Carmen. That's all.
That's all. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Sorry, you just make me laugh. Sometimes just, you know, I see Will Ferrell and he just cracks me up.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when I look over at you.
Oh, thank you. It was like that with Mother Teresa. I don't know what it was about her. She just tickled me.
She literally did?
Yeah, she did. She would just sneak up behind me and start tickling me. Cut it out, MT, I'd yell. But she, you know, she gets something in her mind. Stop.
Again, Fran from Libertyville walked away with the family pack of four tickets to, I like to say the family four pack, quite honestly.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Chicago White Sox versus Detroit Tigers. It's Saturday, June 16th at 1:10. Keep listening for that sounder that you heard. It's your cue to call in to win seats to the Sox, and we'll do that all regular season long. Also, within the next hour, Bill, you have come up with a fantastic game for a fantastic prize. The prize is a Father's Day grill package from Omaha Steaks, including top sirloins, boneless pork chops, Omaha Steaks burgers, and more. And remember to get your own Omaha Steaks package for $49.99. Just go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code BILL in the search bar.
This happens sometimes between now and closing at noon. It's a game called It's Impossible, where I've developed a question that is so hard, it's not even on the Google. You can't even find it on the Google, the answer to this.
All right, and we were talking about the suicide rates. According to the CDC, they released a study yesterday, and they said among women, the age group that has the highest rate of suicide for women is 45 to 64.
Huh.
And Steve Bertrand asked about men's age range, and this is a study that was done in the couple years ago, but still middle-aged men in the 45 to 60-year-old range experienced a 43% increase in suicide deaths from 1997 to 2014.
But they don't, they're not even guessing as to why that increase is so dramatic, huh?
Well, you know, it's weird when Mary Vandeveld threw out some issues for women. Men, it's more work-related issues. And I got to be honest with you, for the most part, I think it's fair to say men are more reluctant to get help.
I would think that's true.
You know, it's like, oh, this will pass.
Right.
Women seem to get help, but then again, and I'm not saying women are the best things in the world, but they tend to put other people's feelings before themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes by the time they're in that middle age range,
mm-hmm.
we haven't gotten the help we need.
Yeah, maybe. But there was a stat you mentioned earlier about how so many of the people who do end up taking their own lives, there is no pattern of mental illness, that it's a spur of the moment thing. Not always, but the numbers were pretty high. I would have thought differently.
Yeah, I agree. And bottom line, you know, if we can help one person today, if you're listening, if you've thought about it before, if you're thinking about it now, if you're having any kind of crisis, whether it be physical, mental, work-related, anything, for immediate help, you can call the toll-free National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The number to call is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All calls are confidential. Seriously, if you're feeling at your loneliest, you just need someone to talk to at some point, 24/7. You can call this 1-800-273-TALK.
Please do it. All right, let's do this. A break, some news. Alexander Zeldin.
Actually, no break.
No break.
Yeah, you should plug into the control board, because then you could hear the...
I got other stuff going on, Wendy, but thanks for the
bagel?
Offer. Yeah. I'm planning my lunch right now. I can't possibly do... All right, so we'll give you some news. Alexander Zeldin will then join us from Decider, and then your chance to win an incredible package from Omaha Steaks for playing a game called
Yum, Yum, give me some.
That's what people are saying, Wendy. That's what the kids are saying. Thank you, Steve. Don't forget, sometime between now and the end of the show, so roughly 51 minutes, somewhere in there, your chance to win an incredible prize package from Omaha Steaks with a game we call It's Impossible. I will ask you a trivia question that I don't think you'll know the answer to, but if you can fool me and know the answer to it, you'll win an incredible array of steaks from Omaha Steaks.
And no stream today. We are in the process of changing locations. They're wiring all the studios. So no bonus hour from noon to one on the stream. Probably no bonus hour next week as well, but maybe the week after that.
If you're good.
There's a man acting like he's crying because there's no bonus hour.
Michigan Avenue is not taking this news well, Wendy.
We'll get back as soon as we can.
We'll do everything we can to make that happen. Alexander Zeldin joins us right now. Alexander is the managing editor for Decider.com, a great website when it comes to all things show business, entertainment, and television. Alexander, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thanks for having me on. I'm doing
Absolutely.
Great. How are you guys?
We're good. I hate to start this off on a sad note, but television lost a very important person today. Anthony Bourdain, we found out just a few hours ago, is dead. Very sad news.
Yeah, this is awful news. I was honestly, when the notification popped up on my phone, I was personally gutted. I only met him once in person at an event, but he was an incredible, incredible inspiration to probably millions of people. He did, I don't know if it's okay to talk about this on the air, but I'll go ahead anyway. He did kill himself, and he was discovered this morning by one of his good friends. We don't know specifics, and it's probably best not to talk about specifics. But obviously it's very sad because he's somebody who traveled all over the world, exposed people to different types of food and different cultures. And even somebody like that who has been so powerful and so prominent, there was clearly a lot going on inside of him that was not necessarily being expressed. And it's terrible. It's awful news.
And, you know, meeting him or just watching him on television, he had this snarky, confident way about him. So that makes it even more puzzling, you know?
Yeah, his personality, if you ever read his first book, Kitchen Confidential, which is phenomenal, and definitely pick it up if you haven't, but he always told the truth. You know, even when the Me Too movement started, he was one of the first people on the front lines trying to reveal people like Harvey Weinstein, and even when a good friend of his, like Mari Batali, ended up, you know, no pun intended, under the knife, he was one of the first people out there being like, listen, we need to take these people to task, we need to do this, because part of that was, as he was young, as he was coming up in kitchens as a chef, he did a lot of drugs, he did a lot of wrong things with women and to his employees and other things, and he recognized that, and he owned that, and he tried to push beyond that, and it seemed like, obviously, for a time that he was successful, but clearly not completely.
Alexander, if you wouldn't mind, talk about the transition he made, because when he first reached notoriety, it was for his incredible knowledge of food, but then at some point, somebody had the wherewithal to say, hey, you're a lot more than just a food guy. You understand the world and stuff and travel mm-hmm. and everything. How did that take place? Do we know?
Well, I'm not totally intimately familiar, but of the stuff that I do know about him, I would say part of it is that he was never afraid to try anything. You know, this might come from his youth that we were just talking about, where he went all totally overboard with drugs and wine and women and everything else. But he would eat anything, he would try anything, he had no fear about anything in these cases, and that turned him into a chef, but also a travel host. He would go to places and really be with the people. There's a great piece that one of our editors, Megan O'Keefe, put up this morning talking about how it wasn't just about a lot of people can go to places and be like, whoa, this is weird, I'm eating tentacles, but he was never like that. He was always part of the culture. He embraced the people. He tried to understand them, and he tried to bring that in a very simple and plain way to the viewers at home. Another thing that I will mention that a lot of people I don't think know about him is he was a huge comic book fan. That's actually how I met him in person, is through his first comic book, Get Gero, which was a post-apocalyptic chef graphic novel, and he was throwing a party for it. And he wrote a bunch of other comics after that. There was one that's currently running that was all about just weird ghost stories that chefs would tell that he changed into comic books. He had so many different things and so many things to give the world. It's a tremendous loss.
What a loss, really. Very, very sad. Anthony Bourdain, if you're just hearing the news for the first time, sadly taking his own life, dead at the age of 61. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more to discuss with Alexander, including the wow moment of the week. This segment is sponsored by Wow Internet TV Phone. Stick around for that wow moment of the week. It's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Are you just hearing the English language for the first time?
Maybe.
That's amazing. Alexander Zelbin is our guest. Alexander is the managing editor of Decider.com, a fantastic website. Go to Decider.com if you like your entertainment. What about this, Alexander? For years and years and years, there have been hints that we might get a Friends reunion. Will there be or will mm-hmm. there not be?
The definitive answer, unfortunately, if you're a Friends fan, is no.
That stinks.
No Friends
Could
reunion.
You be more negative?
I was just watching a Friends marathon last night, and I mean, seriously, that
really
show
funny.
Still stands up.
Yeah. Why no reunion? We want a reunion.
Well, that's actually the reason. There was a panel where David Crane, the co-creator of the show, was on, and they asked him about a reunion. He said they gave them their happy endings. They tied everything up. They said everything they need to say. There's nothing more that they need to say about the show. They just don't need to return to it. They were on a break, and they're going to stay on it.
We need to know how they doing. I know that was a stretch, but seriously, just watching this one episode, Joey's got the hair in his face and he's wearing turtlenecks. The clothes are very 80s-esque.
Sure they are, yeah.
I mean, there was a fashion, and she had the Rachel at that time.
Yeah.
Some of the styles went out, but it's still funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. That's too bad. So no chance ever. Stop dreaming. Stop hoping. It's over.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, honestly, I respect it. With the amount of revivals that are going on right now, there's plenty of nostalgia that you can tap into if you really want to. And
right.
some stories just have to have endings.
All right. All right. How about this? Alicia Silverstone is coming back in a show called American Woman. When and what is that about?
Well, so this is on the Paramount Network, which you may have a little trouble finding, so check your listings for that. It actually premiered last night, but you can probably stream it today, and then it's going to be ongoing every Thursday. Here's the interesting pedigree of it. It is based on the childhood of Kyle Richards, who you might know from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it's about two girls who are raised by a single mom, played by Alicia Silverstone. It's a half-hour comedy. The showrunner is John Wells, who ran ER. And
oh, yeah.
So there's a good pedigree behind it. To be perfectly honest, our reviewer, Leah Palmieri, was a little mixed on the show, but what she did love about it is that Alicia Silverstone, you know her, you love her, she is back, and she's an icon as usual.
Yeah, she's very likable. Wendy, you'll know Kyle Richards is the sister of Kim Richards, who played Prudence on Nanny and the Professor.
Yes, all right.
Now it all makes sense?
Yeah, but he was on The Real Housewives?
She.
Oh, it's a girl.
Yeah,
all
Kyle's
right.
A girl in this case. Yep. All right, so American Woman premiered last night on Paramount. Mixed reviews. The show The Staircase, that's a Netflix show, and that starts when? That starts today. What is The Staircase about?
Yeah. So if you are into true crime shows, this is kind of the granddaddy of true crime shows. Another one of our writers, Kayla Cobb, has been... I heard her gasp out loud when they announced that Netflix was bringing this back. That's how excited she was. We have a bunch of stuff that went up today and throughout the weekend about it. But it's about the real-life Michael Peterson case. He was a mystery author who may or may not have killed his wife, Kathleen Peterson, by pushing her down the stairs. There was originally it was one of the first true crime documentaries back in 2004. It was released as an 8-part series. And then I believe there was another 2-part series, a sequel to it, that was released. The big deal with this is the Netflix series is wrapping up all of those episodes and then adding 3 additional episodes with new evidence and things that have happened since 2013. To give you a hint, if you don't know anything about the case, we had a separate thing. This is a theory so crazy they didn't include it.
Oh, what is that?
The owl theory. The theory is that basically she fell down the stairs. There were some weird markings on her head. Previously in Michael Peterson's life, he had a previous wife who also died falling down a staircase. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. But the owl theory is there's owl DNA in the scratches, and they found some owl feathers next to the staircase.
Yeah.
So the theory is that an owl killed her.
An owl?
Was it a pet owl, or was it a killer owl that broke into the house?
A killer owl who broke into the house, potentially. But that's the sort of crazy theory that didn't make it into the show. The stuff that is in the show is, in some ways, even more insane. So,
an actual owl, Alexander. Not as in, I'll see you in jail, but a real owl.
Like Woodsy.
Yeah, Woodsy the owl.
Yep, yeah. He may have thought she was a Tootsie Roll Pop.
Crunch.
That happens. All right, now I want to see it. I'll be honest. I was on the fence until you brought up the owl theory, and now I can't wait.
There you go.
I'm very excited. Sunday night, the Tony Awards. What can we expect there?
So this actually should be a big one. I feel like people have been tuning out from the Tony Awards for a little while, honestly, myself as well, because, hey, theater is super expensive.
Yeah.
But this one, you got Bruce Springsteen performing, Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles are hosting, and there's a bunch of shows, even if you haven't seen them on Broadway, that you might be interested in. The new Harry Potter show is nominated for awards. Also, other names for the musicals, Frozen, SpongeBob SquarePants, Mean Girls. So there's going to be a lot of stuff you might recognize there. And then one of the other big ones that everybody expects to probably take home the most awards is Angels in America. There's a revival of that starring Nathan Lane and Andrew Garfield that I've heard from folks in the office who saw it is absolutely phenomenal. So it should be a fun night, particularly if you're a fan of theater.
What's their rule about a show like Hamilton did really, really well last time? So can that still be nominated for things? Or once you win or nominated, do they put you on a shelf? How does that play out?
It's during the nomination year. You know, the exception is revivals. To be honest with you, I'm not sure about the space. You can't, you know, cancel a show and then bring it back a year later, and then suddenly that's a revival. Yeah. But something like Hamilton, I believe it's not an exact calendar year. I believe it's until February or March it needs to open, something like that. So as long as it opens between, say, March and March, and somebody check me on my facts there, That's what applies to the toadies.
All right. That sounds good. And I want to wish good luck to my friend, my longtime friend, David Cromer, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, who was nominated for his first Tony Award for directing. I would sure like to see him win that statue. That would be a big thing for David. So good luck on Sunday night. I want to run.
Boy, you know famous people, don't you?
Yeah, I know a bunch of famous people, Wendy. I know you and David Cromer, and that's my whole list. It's not a long list.
You know Alexander.
Well, yeah, I know Alexander, but just by phone so far. Alexander, I've been watching. Now, I know this show has been on for four seasons, but I started this thing a couple of weeks ago where every night I close off my night by watching an episode of Black Mirror, which I have to say, if you've not seen it, it's like a British updated Twilight Zone. Each of the episodes are freestanding. You don't have to have seen them in any particular order. They're all like very Twilight Zone-y.
I loved it.
What a great way to cap off an evening watching an episode of that. You've seen the show, right?
I have. I'm surprised that you're able to sleep after watching it.
They're pretty creepy.
It is. Basically, the idea of it beyond the Twilight Zone thing is it looks into technology, as you can probably guess from the name. You know, our phones are black mirrors, our laptops or computer screens or TVs are black mirrors.
Never even got that connection, I got to be honest with you.
No?
Nope.
Yeah, there you go.
But can I tell you how they're ahead of the game, Alexander, really quick? The episode I watched last night was about there's a big election going on in England, and the guy that is the front runner is a cartoon character. And it's interesting watching the people of England get sucked into this guy who has no political background. He's a cartoon, and all of a sudden everyone in England loves him, and they're fooled by him. And I went, wow, there's absolutely no parallel to that in anything I've ever seen in real life ever.
There's actually, it's kind of amazing if you look back at some of the first seasons in particular like that, where they were not that far away from the truth. There's things like... I'm forgetting the name of the episode. I think it's the entire history of you, where they have this thing called a grain that's implanted in your ear, and you can look back at all of your memories.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Redo. They call it a redo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there are things where they're starting to experiment with ideas like that, where you can start doing things like that. I also, one other thing I wanted to point out to you as you sift through the series, you said that they're all separate, and technically that's true, but there's actually been little hints that they might be connected.
Oh, really?
Little crossovers, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll watch for that.
Yeah, there's when you get to the last episode of the most recent season called Black Museum, keep an eye out, because there's some things that may connect one episode.
Oh, I love it.
That's a really good one. Has that been renewed? Because there aren't that many episodes.
It's four seasons, but all the seasons are short. They're between three and six episodes per season.
I watched it all.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and there will be a fifth season of Black.
All right, good. That's good news. What is the wow moment of the week, Alexander?
The wow moment of the week is Greg Berlanti, who's one of the few super producers on TV, along with Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy, got an enormous deal with Warner Brothers, which is his main studio. They paid him $300 million cash, reportedly, to stay with Warner Brothers through 2024. Now, obviously, this is a wow moment for Greg Berlanti, because he got $300 million cash. But in terms of broadcast TV, it's a huge deal, because those two other names that I mentioned, Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy, except for a few shows, have moved over to Netflix. They had very similar big deals, and they've moved over to streaming. So Greg Berlanti, on the other hand, is staying with broadcast. He has 14 shows on the air right now for WB. He's one of the few reliable mega producers. That's actually really good news for your broadcast shows and even some cable shows that he is staying with them, at least for the next 6 years.
Excellent news. Alex, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex Zelbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. That's the website to visit there, Decider.com. A quick break, some news, and then your chance to win an incredible array of steaks from Omaha Steaks. Stick around. That's next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's impossible. Tell the sun to leave the sky. It's just impossible.
It is impossible, Wendy. That is the name of the game. It's impossible. We have an incredible prize package to give away, courtesy of Omaha Steaks.
May I tell people what it is?
Yep.
a Father's Day grill package from Omaha Steaks. It includes top sirloins, boneless pork chops, Omaha Steak steaks, burgers, and more. For a limited time, you can get your own Omaha Steaks package. It's an unbelievable value, $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Just use the code word BILL in the search bar. It'll take you right to that package.
You can't believe the amount of food you get, and you can't believe how delicious it all is. Thanks, Omaha Steaks, for providing this. So if you don't win, get yourself one or get one for your dad for Father's Day. But give us a call right now at 312-981-7200. We will load up the phone lines. I have devised a question so impossible, Wendy, that it's not even on Google. You can't. Like, a lot of times you ask a trivia question, people go, I could look that up. What was Uncle Arthur's last name on Bewitched? I'll just Google that. Well, not this time around.
What was it?
You don't know? I don't know.
Bill, you are dropping the ball. You were wrong about Jake Arrieta pitching in the series when he came back to town.
I have a lot of hardship in my life right now, Wendy.
don't say that.
312-981-7200. Call now. Be a player on It's Impossible and walk away, or try to walk away, with a whole bunch of delicious Omaha Steaks. Now, this is interesting. We've never done this for a game prize before. If none of the listeners win, Wendy, I heard you and Steve Bertrand conspiring to take the package for yourselves. I heard that.
I can't do it. I can order my own. I'm an ineligible steak eater.
All right. All right. Let's go to the phones.
Do we start with just one person?
Yeah. Start with one person, and right, I will ask the question.
The first caller.
All right. Who are you, first caller?
It's Jim.
Right. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good to hear it, Jim. Jim, this is called It's Impossible. I will ask you the question. Should you get it right, all the steaks Wendy just mentioned are yours. But if you get it wrong, you must leave town. Are you prepared to do that?
I'm on the road now.
All right. That's fair. Here goes, Jim. Good luck. Seatbelt on?
Thank you. All right. Ready to go.
Here goes. One WGN radio personality, and that could be past or present, male or female, has a name that rhymes with an Academy Award-winning actor or actress. Their first name rhymes with that person's first name. Their last name rhymes with that person's last name. Name the WGN personality and the actor or actress whose first and last names rhyme with theirs.
I'm going to guess John Williams.
John Williams and who? What actor or actress name rhymes with John Williams?
This is impossible.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I invented it.
You have way too much spare time to come up with questions like this.
Yes. What do you think, Jim? Can you do it?
I'm drawing a blank.
No,
I'm
no one. Jim, thank you for trying. We have no parting gifts, but you're free to play again in the future.
Thank you.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
That's tough, right? Isn't that tough?
I don't even know if I understand it.
Wendy, it's impossible. It would be like if there was an Academy Award-winning actor or actress named Bendy Kreider, then it would be, Wendy Snyder from WGN and award-winning actress Bendy Kreider. But there isn't anybody named Bendy Kreider.
Not yet.
Not yet.
All right. Well, Laurel is next on the line.
Laurel, good luck.
This is ungoogleable.
You can't Google this.
Okay. I'm driving. I don't Google when I drive.
No, you should never Google and drive. All right. So here's the question again.
You should wear Depends.
Wow. I think we should
Sorry.
Give
Sorry, it's a Friday. I've started my weekend, Laurel.
Laurel, you should get a prize just for enduring that. All right, so here's the question again. It's impossible, but here it is. One WGN radio personality, past or present, male or female, has a name that rhymes with an Academy Award-winning actor or actress. Their first name rhymes with that person's first name. Their last name rhymes with that person's last name. Who is it?
I was going to say Steve Cochran and Vivian Leigh.
Nope, it is not Steve Cochran and Vivian Leigh. A good try, though, Laurel.
Have a great weekend, Laurel. That's not even close.
Not even close. This is one where you can't, there's no such thing as close. Like, you either get this, which no one will because it's impossible, or you can't be close. It's impossible.
All right, Rich would like to try it. Do you understand the rules, Rich?
Rich?
Rich has hung up.
I don't blame him.
Rich, 3, 2, I'll try one more time with him.
All right.
Rich, are you there?
No, he knew better.
He bailed.
He knew better.
All right. We'll try Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
All right. So I'm already probably disqualifying myself because I heard you do it again as far as the winning of the Academy Award.
Oh, don't worry. You're fine.
Go
Orion Samuelson and O.J. Simpson.
No, O.J. Simpson, as it turns out, although he was great in Towering Inferno, never won the Academy Award.
But wasn't he? He was also in one of those police. Oh my goodness!
He had a lot to do with the police.
Well, no, when he was running he was in Airplane, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, no, was it Airplane?
Airplane or
Police Squad?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Nielsen. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
So Orion Samuelson and O.J. Simpson don't rhyme anyway.
No, I cannot. We cannot give you the point on that,
Kevin. I'll tell you, yours was the closest.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and thanks for Jasmine for allowing me to play.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
How gracious. Kevin is our most gracious contestant.
But wrong.
But incorrect, yeah.
Jason, welcome to This Is Impossible, because it is.
It's impossible. Do you know the answer, yes. Jason? One WGM person. Oh, go on.
I was going to say Fran and Stan.
There's no one working here named Fran or Stan, so no, that is not correct.
Okay, well, thank you.
Judy Pilek's dad.
No. Again, you have to fit all the criteria. You have to have won an Academy Award, and your first name and your last name must rhyme with a WGN personality of the past or present.
This is impossible.
I told you it was impossible.
Think of this? Bill, what made you even think of this?
Don't ask.
I don't know, Kim.
He has way too much stuff in his head.
Wow.
Eileen is on the line with us. Welcome to the disaster.
Thanks a lot. All right. Well, my guess is Mike Toomey and Marissa Tomei.
Oh. Now, Mike Toomey technically is not an employee of WGN Radio, but he is of WGN Television. But Mike and Marissa do not rhyme.
Yeah, that's true.
So I said earlier you can't get close. You got close, but it is not correct.
Thank you for trying, okay. Eileen.
Nice try, right. Eileen.
I just have this vision that we're going to just be on the phone taking phone calls throughout the whole weekend.
Right.
You'll come back Monday morning. We'll still be here going,
it's
going
to be like
Jim?
A phone-a-thon.
Hey, guys.
Saying, Jim, do you have an idea?
Well, I don't know if she won an Academy Award, but it's the famous Jill Neff. That rhymes with Bill Left.
All right, listeners, that is the concept of this.
Wow.
Because it was hard to figure out. Jim, you're wrong, but funny.
Very funny.
She's a nutrition in Jackson, Ohio. Come on, it was Googleable.
Have a great weekend.
I wish he was right. He's not right.
All right, explain the rules again.
All right, here are the rules to It's Impossible. One WGN Radio personality, past or present. This could be somebody on air right now at WGN Radio, or maybe somebody who worked here 10 or 15 years ago. I can't say who, but it's somebody you've heard of. I can promise you that. They could be a male. They could be a female. Their name, their first name, and their last name rhyme with an Academy Award winner. Maybe that Academy Award winner is an actor. Maybe it's an actress. That's not important. But their names, first and last, rhyme. Who are they? If you win, you get an incredible prize package from Omaha Steaks.
Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage. Impossible.
Ungoogleable. That's what Bill Leff is. We have a prize package to give away from Omaha Steaks. It's a Father's Day grill package. Top sirloins, boneless pork chops, Omaha Steaks burgers, and more. For a limited time, you can get your own Omaha Steaks package for $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Just use the promo code Bill in the search bar. It'll take you to that special page. Or you can play this silly game called It's Impossible.
It is impossible, Wendy. I'll give you the question one more time, and then we'll take a guess. And then I'll start giving out some clues to make it easier. It's still going to be impossible, but it'll be easier. One WGN radio personality, past or present, maybe somebody who's working here now, maybe somebody who worked here 10 or 15 years ago, could be a male, could be a female, has a name that rhymes with an Academy Award-winning actor or actress. Their first name rhymes with the first name of the actor or actress. Their last name rhymes with the actor or actress. Name the WGN personality and the Academy Award-winning actor or actress.
Robert, welcome to It's Impossible.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Robert, we're pulling for you. We want to see you walk away with a whole bunch of Omaha Steaks. What is your guess?
I think I have it. Oriel L. Samuelson and Samuel L. Jackson.
You're
funny.
You're funny. You're not right, but you're funny, and it's better to be funny than right, isn't it?
Yes. Of course.
It is.
Have a great weekend,
all right,
Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Oriel Samuelson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mary, it's your turn. Make it end.
Okay, I think this was pretty easy peasy. I'm guessing Justin Kaufman and Dustin Hoffman.
Mary, you are a genius.
Oh, my good golly, Miss Molly.
That was fantastic. I didn't think anyone would get it.
Good for her. That's
how about
awesome.
That, Kim?
Wow, I'm impressed.
And Mary, I'm impressed by what you said. This was easy. I love
easy,
that.
Easy.
Wow.
All right. Are you like the Mrs. Seuss? Do you just walk around rhyming things like easy peasy, Justin Kaufman, Dustin Hoffman?
No, not until today.
I'm telling you, I went through the Academy Awards site and I am looking at like Charlton Heston and I'm thinking, who is that? I've gone through lists of Academy Award winners and got nothing.
Oh, no.
You're
oh,
great, no. Mary. I hope you like steaks.
Not really.
Oh, well, that worked out beautifully then.
You can tell her what she won.
You win a Father's Day grill package. You won't like it, but I'm sure somebody you know will.
Yes.
It's from Omaha Steaks. It includes top sirloins, boneless pork chops, Omaha Steak burgers, and a whole lot more. For a limited time, you can get your own Omaha Steaks package for only $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Use the code BILL in the search bar. But you don't have to worry about that, Mary, because it's all coming to you for free for winning this game.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I'm just curious. You don't like steaks, Mary? Do you like pork chops? Do you like chicken? Do you like burgers? Because there's a whole plethora of meats in this package.
No, not really.
So you're a vegetarian.
She's vegan.
I'm a vegetarian.
This worked out absolutely perfectly, Bill. It's impossible. I think we should do it every week.
Well, I know. Every part of the game is impossible. The prize is impossible. The question, everything.
But now, Mary, you know someone that you can gift this to for Father's Day or something, can't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
That worked out then.
Are there anyone else in your family that eats meat?
My brother-in-law does.
All right. Well, this is more a prize for him, really, then.
Yes.
All right. Well, good.
Well, I am still intrigued by your smarts here. Justin Kaufman, Dustin Hoffman. That's awesome. Great
well
job
done,
with
Mary.
That.
Well done, Mary. I'm so proud of you.
I'm going to miss his lowdown.
The download?
His show. The download, yes. I didn't get that right. The download. Yeah.
That's all right.
We have to take away your prize package now.
But
I'm sorry.
He's joining the Steve Cochran Show, so I don't know if you're up early enough to listen.
I will.
Excellent. Well, Mary, stay on the line. We'll get all your information. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. You too.
Congratulations. Great job. Only us.
Yeah.
Only us. Got a great steak package to give away.
Not a fan of the steaks, but she her brother-in-law will enjoy them.
I bet she'll eat the apple tartlets.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves that. All right. So I just want to clarify. Justin Kaufman, of course, the current WGN personality, the Academy Award winner whose first and last name rhymes with Justin Kaufman, Dustin Hoffman. He won the Academy Award not once, Wendy, but twice. Can
Tootsie?
You name? He did not win for Tootsie.
Good, because he doesn't deserve it.
What? Why the bitterness?
I don't
What's
like
wrong?
All the President's Men.
No, he wasn't in all the. Oh, he was in All the President's Men, but he did not win the award for that.
Was it?
You can do this.
Yes, I know what it is. The Qantas.
The Qantas commercials.
What movie was that?
Rain Man.
Yeah, is it Rain Man?
Rain Man is one of the two.
That was a really good movie.
Yeah.
How come I couldn't remember the name
of it? That's the Barry Levinson great film, Rain
Man. It's really good.
Yeah. And what other one did he win the Academy Award for?
That would be The Graduate.
No, he should have won for The Graduate, but he did not.
Are you proud of my answer?
That's a great guess. Character's name in The Graduate?
I don't.
Benjamin Braddock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. He was a vegetarian, I understand.
Benjamin Braddock was. He ate plastics. And then in 1980, he won opposite Meryl Streep for his role in what film?
Oh, Outbreak.
No. Oh. Kramer versus...
He was in that?
Yeah, he was Kramer. The first. He was the original. He was the
well,
first,
Jerry.
Then, no, not that Kramer. Kramer versus Kramer.
That is a long time ago.
Yeah, 1980.
That really was a good movie as
long
well.
Long time ago, yeah.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Except for Rain Man. No, what was the one you got mad that he won for?
Tootsie.
Or
I
didn't
like that.
For. No?
It was
really?
Come on, Tootsie.
Oh, Wendy, why? See it again.
No.
If you don't like something, you should see it again.
I do come to work with you every day. Right. You don't like
All
something.
Right. Now the show's over. Now we're done.
I can't believe a vegetarian won our steak package. I can't get over that. I'm serious.
It just shows, Wendy, that things come full circle. That's all it shows.
Only for us.
That's all right. That's fine. It's better that way.
Maybe there's some sides also in the package.
There's some sides. Thank
potatoes
you, Kim.
Au gratin.
Yeah, there's that. There's the apple
cream
tartlets.
Spinach or something like that.
Mary will find something. Don't worry. It'll be okay.
It just hurts me.
No, don't let it get to you. Don't let
it
get to you.
I would have taken it. She knew what she was winning when she called.
She did.
It's okay.
Right. It's all
she
right.
She had the answer.
Yeah.
She got us all out of our misery.
We would have had to have stayed through the weekend. She got you home early.
You would have had
I
to
would have
stayed
had to. Somebody
through
had to
the
stay.
Weekend.
Right. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll close things off. Steve will tell us what he's got on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.